quoted that for us along with the rest of his word so that we have it and that he is present always as we read at home, on the road, in the assembly. He is always present when you read God's word. So you're always reading God's word in God's presence, who gave what you're reading. So he gave it to you, for you and I, to understand and to be able to benefit and to be able to be blessed. So God gave his word, here we are. So now, in the light of that, looking at Jeremiah, God, Jeremiah, is looking and unfolding for us as the prophet, weeping prophet, sometime they call him, because of the terrible, terrible things he had to see. And thus in the process, the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem. The 10 tribes in the north have gone 100 years earlier, approximately. And now the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem. And that judgment is the unfolding, outworking of the long suffering of God, long before being angry. Big space, angry, but not going to do anything. Long stretch before he does it. Long stretch. Now, with that in mind, in Jeremiah chapter 7, as we have been seeking to look and remind ourselves, and in chapter 7, you would recall, picking up somewhat of it, a little, verse 27, therefore, 7:27. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but Judah, Jerusalem. But they will not hearken, they will not hear you, they will not answer you. And thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee, they will not. So you're going to do everything you can, Jeremiah, but this is God speaking, not of his, not they aren't hearing God. They aren't hearing Jeremiah, who's speaking for God. They aren't going to hear his servant. And thus, the servant needs to know that so that you don't back off, back down like Isaiah, who had all those years, 40 of them. And he said in the very beginning, what's my success rate going to be? And God said, zero. In essence, zero. You're going to go and say something to a people that don't want to hear, and you're going to say it anyway. I want them to hear it. So there's no excuse. I want them to hear it. And thus he did. And so when you're reading now in Jeremiah, 700 years later, after they had heard and they ended up in captivity. And so now here is the time for Judah and Jerusalem's judgment. And thus you come to verse 28. Thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not, that does not obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction, no instruction, no correction, no change. They are uninterested. Truth is perished. Faithfulness is gone. The faithfulness, looking to God, we can't be faithful to that unless we are enabled to be faithful. And our faithfulness, based on our old nature, the source being our own humanness, is going to run out. No matter how long, it runs out. It loses the fervor, the fight, the freshness. Just loses it. Now, and thus, here and is cut off from their mouth, verse 28, and we shared together. That's a simple way to say they don't have any more hypocrisy. They're straight out down the road, going to tell you where they are. They are not in for God. They're not interested in God. Straight outright. No, a lot of words. No, I don't want God. Straight, clear cut. No more pretending. In the tribulation, the world is going to read Revelation 9, etc., and building up all the way down the line. And they're going to go, literally, ultimately, and in the process and ultimately, to shake their fist at God. No pretending. Are you an enemy of God? Yes. Are you against God? Yes. No question. The world is going to do that with vengeance. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Boom. Going to go against God. So that's a real condition, etc. It exists. And here it is existent. The heart of the person, Israelite, Judah, Jerusalem, gets hard and hard and hard. And pretty soon, it doesn't try to hide it. It just does it, as people do. Now, therefore, because of that position, condition, hardness of heart, stiffness of neck. Verse 29, cut off thine hair, that means shave it off, O Jerusalem, cast it away and take up a lamentation, a mournful this chant. Women were, without reading all those things, women were enlisted and hired to be professional mourners. And a person would die, they still do it, I think. Person would die, and they hire the people hour after hour to continue crying out. That you have it, someone you see sometime in the Near East when things happen. Great problems for them. And you'll see the women just crying out. So the death chant, that's another word for it. Mormon, lamentation, death chant. Death chant, wow. So now, here they are. And in the process, they are practicing this lamentation. A God had gone early, rising early, etc. And thus is this lamentation, this death chant, I should say. And so now, in the light of that, this lamentation, this death chant, interestingly enough, this death chant is to be exercised where? Verse 29, cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, that's mourning. Just rip off your clothes, put on your black cloth, and get down and cry out. Mourn. Huh. Verse 29. And O Jerusalem, cast it away and take up the lamentation on high places. Take up the lamentation on high places. Now, the word high places sometimes means mountain. This means a bare mountain, a bare, naked mountain, naked. Now, what were we doing? The mountains, we're going to look at it, try to. The mountains are where you go and you build your altars. And you build your altars and your images and your ritual, your sacrifices on the mountains. And you do it up there and that's where you worship God, gods, little g. And you go up and do that on that mountain. That's what the world does. You'll see it in a second. And they did that. Now, interestingly enough, God takes them up to the mountain. And the mountain, with all of its idols and everything, and stuff, like with Josiah and that, you're going to have to clean Hezekiah. You have to clean that mountain. See that mountain? That's got all your junk up there, all your religious ritual, and we're going to make it bare, naked. Nothing's going to be there. And the very place that you worshipped your idols, I'm going to have you stand there very publicly, because when you worshipped your idols, you were very visible and very public. I'm going to have you go up on the top of that mountain, right where you do your sacrifices, and I want you to, with that bare mountain, you bare your heart in your bare head, in your mournful death chant, do it on top of that mountain, very publicly. Very publicly. Now, having said that, that's awesome. Yes, you know, I'm gonna show the world. You think did that? You go back up there and you show them how your heart needs to be, etc. Now, having said that, in verse 29, the high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath, and God already had executed his wrath upon those places, the high places, and he had exercised his wrath upon Israel in the north, and now upon Judah and Jerusalem, and God had waited 100 years or so, and God said, well, you haven't learned a lesson, you aren't changing a thing. God's long before being angry, and God, so here they are to go back up to those high places and to show a measure of repentance, if you have it in you, if you have it in you, to go up and do so. Now, and thus in a very public thing. Now, having said that, in order to appreciate that a little more and remind you for your memory, not that your memory isn't good, why the high places? Over, if you would please, in your Bible, and if I can, you will, for time's sake, avoid, bypass, Genesis 11. So therefore, go to Genesis 14 for speed. Genesis 14. Now, you know that after in the Noahic flood, they all scattered. There was no religions. There were no political systems. Just humanity before God, very real. God very real to them, but they had done evil in their heart continually, and they have pushed God out of the picture, out of their heart, out of their mind. God's there, but they have so hardened their heart that they don't. God's presence is just, well, I can't see him, touch him, smell him, so goodbye. And they did that. Now, after the Genesis flood, they went and they flood because there's judgment. And they didn't have judgment up to then. So now you've got judgment in your little head. We just lost the whole generations of people. So now we're going to come together, humanity, after the flood coming down from the ark, etc. And we're going to grow and grow and grow. And we're all going to come together. And we, Genesis 11, we're going to build a tower and a city in order to avoid being scattered, which God had made, which is what they were to do, and they didn't want to have that happen. They knew in unity was strength, so they thought. In numbers, strength, unity, power. But God was going to judge them. But they built a tower along with a city, politic, and along with a tower, religion, and to go up and get high up with a tower. They were building a high tower to get into the higher, higher, and higher. Now, why? Why higher and higher and higher? Over, if you would, you're in Genesis 14. Hold your finger there. One other place. That precedes. Over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, we have one of the accounts that God gives of Lucifer, son of the morning. But I just want to remind you of something about his problem that got him in trouble. Chapter Isaiah 14, picking up, please. I'll read verse 13 just for a little better fullness. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And the last statement, I will be like the Most High God. I'm going to be like Him. I'm not going to be Him. I'm going to be like Him. I want to be able to have the glory and honor that He has. All of angelic creation honors Him. And I want to partake of that. That's what I want in my heart. And that's what He did, Ezekiel 28. He did it in His heart. And what was His goal? I want to be like the Most High God. Here's all the angels in their heaven. There is no earth. There are no sky. None. Just God in heaven. Holy, the third heaven, as it were. Wow. And they, how high? How high is the third heaven? Well, I don't know. It's endless. He's the Most High God in the highest of all. In excelsis Deo. Way up there. Wow. Okay. Got that part? Now, back over to Genesis 14. When the devil comes along, what's the issue? Well, the issue is, what is your problem, Mr. Lucifer, son of the morning? Well, my problem is, I wanted to be like the Most High God, and I am booted out, lost my job, kicked out of heaven, as it were, and sentenced to hell. So, chapter 14, I'm interested in Abraham's day. I'm interested in the attitude of people. Now, what's the issue? Here they're building a tower, power, and the nations are all scattered, doing their thing. But during that time, here is Abram, and you would recall chapter 14, after his defeat, his victory. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, 14:18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all things. Verse 22, Abraham said unto him, said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And thus, people, in the days of Abraham, what did you understand? Which you understood before the flood, you understand it. After the flood, you and I, all humans, are in the presence of the Most High God. Not just God, the Most High God. The highest, highest of all, the mostest and bestest. There's no more. God, you're the top. Wow. And they understood that. Now hang on to that. Over if you would please. In the light of that. Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. And if you would, and picking up, remember God has the exodus of the nation of Israel and across the Red Sea to the Mount Sinai, a mountain range. And in verse 16, 19:16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. God introduced him, so he's going to introduce himself. And they stood at the nether part, the bottom part, the lowest part, of the mountain. There they are coming, and here's all this activity which isn't coming from a human anything. This is natural, phenomenal, supernatural, lightnings and everything. Noise, thunder, wow. We never had anything like this in Egypt. No, you didn't. Now, and thus, here they are all gathered at the bottom of the mountain. And Mount Sinai, verse 18, was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked
greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And you can just, none of this is natural. All coming out of somewhere, and louder and louder and louder. Wow. I got to tell you, you have to pay attention. How are you going to avoid it? You can't. That was the whole point. And thus, verse 19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Okay, I'm going to skip down. And verse 23, and Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, can't go up without dying. You can't cross the boundary line on the bottom or you'll die. Even a donkey, an animal, a squirrel that crossed the line would die. Anything across that line would die. God put it there then. Now, so, and thus, for thou chargest thus, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify, set it apart. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, etc., etc. Now, what's the thing? Well, here's the people of Israel, and what have they been doing? They've been worshiping in Egypt, the whole generation after generation. Now, when you worship in Egypt, I'm trying to think of Egypt, for that, basically. And where do I find my idols? The Sphinx? The temples? They're all level. Level. That's their gods. Their gods. And they worship their gods, more or less, in the level, in the vicinity, in the land terrain of Egypt. That's what they did. And if you go down the Nile River and think of, if you have a scene going down the Nile and you look to the left and look to the right, and I have this, remember I did a slide presentation once on all the pyramids down there. I had it. Remember we used to have slides, pictures, you know. Now, I still have them and they're still legit because Luxor doesn't change. It just gets older. Now, in the process, what are they doing at Mount Sinai? Well, they're at a place, people, they are, and they're going to go to a new people, new peoples, and up there on that mountain, who is on the mountain? God is. Who can go up to the mountain? No one, except someone that they call up there, like Moses. No one goes up to the mountain. That's the fireplace, the God place. That's the Israel image after they crossed the Jordan, after they crossed the Red Sea. Wow. So now that's their concept. It's strong, strong inside of them. Wow. Now, and thus, in the light of Exodus, would you go with me to chapter 5 of Deuteronomy again? Deuteronomy in chapter 5. So I want you to see the impression that is made on the people of Israel. And in chapter 5, picking up, if I can, in verse 22, 5 and 22, these words the Lord spake unto all our assembly, all your assembly, in the mount of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. He added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone, and delivered them unto me. That's Moses. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice, you did hear the voice. How could you miss it? Out of the midst of the darkness. For the mountain did burn with fire, and you came near unto me, and all the heads of your tribes, and your elders. Verse 24, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory, his greatness, where? On top of that mountain. His greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth walk with man, and he liveth. And therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. If we hear it anymore, we're going to die. Verse 26, "For who is there of all flesh who hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have, and lived? Go thou near, Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it." But we don't want to get any closer to that mountain. We want the mountain's there, sacred. We're getting away from the mountain. Got that part? Now, we're getting away from the mountain. Now, what do you know without turning there, if you went there to Balaam and Balak and all of that, Balaam the prophet, you know, with Balak. And what does Balak do? Well, Balak's going to go, because he's trying to avoid having to fight or deal with Israel, because Israel is their God took them across the Red Sea, and there's no one on earth that can beat Israel. They all knew that. All the nations, Philistines, the rest of them, they all knew. You can't beat it, God. There's no way to beat God. So now, what are we going to do? Balak, what did you do, king of Moab? Well, what I did is, I had Balaam go up to the high mountains out there in the desert, and where we worship Baal in the high places. We worship Baal, B-A-L-L. We worship our idols up in the high places. And we want you to go up, Balaam the prophet, go up to our high places, our high places, and I want you to look at Israel from our high places and tell us, what can we do to conquer, avoid, escape the judgment or their position? What can we do to win and not lose up there? So here's Balak, Balaam up there, looking, and he can't, of course, curse them up there, but that's their high place. Why their high place? Because, remember Genesis 11, high places. What'd you all do? High places. What's outstanding to Israel is the high place at Mount Sinai. That's where God was. The high place. Well, now that's all well and good, but hey, you know what? We can't go up in that mountain. It's a terrible, terrible place. And we'll die. God is on the mountain. But you guys have mountains. You guys go up in mountains. You go to your gods, and you aren't terrorized, and you aren't afraid, and you don't die. So we can't get to our God. We're going to get to our God by going to your God. Up to the high place. Up to the high place. Now, hang on to that. Over, if you would, you're in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32 for a moment. And you know, and you want to keep in mind now, you have to put the pieces together. What about Israel? When they crossed at Mount Sinai, when the big fire, before they had that, God spoke to them by Moses and told them that they were to be a very special, prized, personal possession of God. They would be above all people down below. They would be above them all. Wow. That's what God promised them. That would be their position. Wow. Now, chapter 32 and verse 9. And in verse 9, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, the very center. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings to get them to learn to fly. Verse 12, So the Lord alone, A-L-O-N-E, all by his lonesome, the Lord did lead him, Israel, and there was no strange God with him. What did you do, God? What was your plan for Israel? He made him to ride on the high places of the earth. He would be the nation of all nations, the highest of all. And here in the middle of the desert, you center them. So how could you miss 40 years of a nation surviving in the place of death? How could you miss that if you were a resident of the Near East? Wouldn't it be phenomenal that here's over 2.5 million or so people with cattle, sheep, camels, goats, living where there is no water and no food for 40 years? Wouldn't you want to pay? I said, wow, wow, you're right. Now, they're the Most High. God given them, God had raised them up to be above all of those nations in a very special way. And as you read, and as we'd read in verse 13 again, he made him to ride in the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. They had everything and would do everything and have everything. They would be the most special people in all the earth. Higher. Because they worshipped and God, and the world was not. The world rejected the Most High God. Wow. Now, Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus in chapter 26. And may I pick up, please, in thought, verse 27. Leviticus 26, 27. And if, God said, if you will not, for all this, all that I'm doing and all that I'm telling you about judgment and pride and etc., look at verse 19. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. I'm going to do what I can to awaken you, that you only have what you have because of my grace and my presence. Verse 27, if you will not at all this, for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary, opposing unto me, then will I walk contrary, opposing unto you, also in fury. And I, that remember said in Jeremiah 7, the wrath, my wrath is already on you. By the way, what do you know about everyone that you work with and go to school with? And everyone that's on the face of the earth, John 3:36, and the wrath of God, what? Abides where? On all the unsaved. Right now. Everyone you know, every human being on the earth, the wrath of God abides. What did you say to Israel? My wrath. If you don't fix this, long before being angry. Now, so here, in verse 28, I will walk contrary to you and also in fury, and even I will chasten you 7 times for your sin. 7 times. I keep doing it 7 times. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And that's just what they do. On that high place, in sacrifice. And then, because of battle and the need to eat. Wow. God, will you let anyone get that? I will. All you can do is read history. Read history. Take the history books and go back through them and read of the events and the movement of when trouble is there and the world is in trouble with opposition and enemy, Think of when the hordes run through China, when they run through Africa and slaughter men, women, and what? Children. Mercilessly. Mercilessly. Women on the road. Knock them out. Wow. But we never hear that, do we? No, we heard Johnny took a loaf of bread and he needs to go to jail. Or some silly thing, you know. The little boy said, bang. Now, he's sentenced for life. I'm just kidding. You know that. But they did get him. Didn't they get him? They got him. They got him. Who are you to stick your finger like that and say, boom? You'll say, wow. But the big stuff that really speaks, you don't ever hear. You're not going to hear it because boy, the devil is covering his tracks. Thus, I got to move very quickly. Would you please note, verse 30, and I will destroy your high places and cast down your images and cast down your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I'm going to have you all die. You're all going to die around your idols. And, in fact, we all can't get there. I'm not even going to have room. I'm not even going to have you buried. And burying was so necessary. You aren't even going to be buried. Your bones and your rot on top of the ground. And that's what they did. In fact, there was no more room where the idols, where they took the sacrifice, buried the sacrifices that were left or whatever, there was no room to bury anybody. And when the final place was all the land was so full of bodies, there was nowhere to bury them. Nowhere to go. Wow. Now, God, this is Leviticus. We haven't got anywhere yet. God's just telling them what's going to be. No. Yes, it is. You say, that could never happen. Hold it now. Verse 30, I will destroy your high places, cast down your images, cast down your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. My soul shall abhor you. I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into destruction. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet savors. And I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished that I let you get this bad and I let them do that much to you. They're amazed that you, the Israelite, having the Most High God as your God, that we could ever pull this off and punish you this much and not get judged for it. Wow. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and you know very quickly, we don't have to turn there, but you know what's going to happen, don't you? Time's going to go on. The Joshua and Judges, and then Samuel, and then Kings. Samuel, in stages of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8, 4, etc., they're going to want a king. We want to be what? What do we want a king for? So that we can be what? Like other nations. We want to be like them. Now hang on to that. What do you mean you want to be like them? They can do all kinds of things we can't. And they have a very big time, very active God. They go to their gods, as we've studied and looked at. They go to their gods on their mountains, in their high places. They sacrifice to the gods, to the children to the gods. And all of that, of course, goes way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, 20, chapter 3, verse 15, 20, 21, where God said, sacrifice. You have to sacrifice. There has to be a savior. There has to be a sacrifice. Well, and it has to be a person. And so now, what are they doing? Israel sacrifices, supposed to sacrifice animals, pointing to a person. But the world is going to forget the animals too much. They're going to go to the people. I mean, because it's a, you have to have a human sacrifice to satisfy the gods. And thus, if I may, having said that little bit, so they want to be like the nations. So you aren't going to be surprised if they build high places all over, are you? Are you surprised at what they're going to do? And I'm interested, it's all going to be the interesting thing. What about this high place? What are you talking about, God? How bad did it get? All right, over to Micah. Remember Isaiah, Micah, Hosea? Micah's living in the day of the end of the Assyrian captivity. Micah, if I can, chapter 1. And in Micah chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in, if I may, verse 3. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and he will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten unto him, and the valleys shall be cleft, as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. Four, I'm going to judge. Judgment is going to roar, move, be very active. Four, the transgression of Jacob in all this. What is the transgression of Jacob? And for his sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? That's the 10 tribes in the north. And what are the high places of Judah? And what are the high places of Judah? The city of Jerusalem is the high place. You have made my city as a high place to build your idolatrous worship on my mountain, Mount Zion. Chapter 3. And you'll please note, again, chapter 3, picking up, if I can, in verse 12. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. I'm going to destroy it all. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar is able to literally level the city. God said, you've made it as a high place. Back to Jeremiah 7. You make sure you go up to your high places and you level everything and make it bald. Get rid of everything up there, and you get down, and you have be having a death chant, a mournful, mournful cry of repentance on top of that mountain where you worshipped. You have defiled my house, my place, my purpose. You are damned. And they were. Now, you got that a little bit? There's a whole lot there. I had to give you that part. I didn't even get to the other parts that are nice. But I'm going to give you now, because I have that, and I know you're so encouraged after all that. So therefore, I want to get it. So what? Here am I. I'm looking, reading this. And I'm looking, so I'm not going to, I don't look at Jerusalem and say, you poor dears, baloney. You're poor dears because you aren't believing, you dummies. And as long as you don't believe, you're going to be a poor dear. As long as you don't believe, you're in trouble. That's your problem. Now fix it. I don't want to believe. Then you got a hard heart. Have it. Let the ignorant be what? Ignorant. Let them be ignorant. Leave them alone. Wow. But we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How do we do that? We're praying for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to Jerusalem in the second coming to make it all work for Jerusalem. But Jerusalem isn't in tune, in touch yet. They will be, but it's going to take tribulation. So now, over to Ephesians chapter 1. And you'll see it. Israel was the highest, bestest, mostest nation and will be again when he comes. Now, here we are looking. And here's the church, and here's the church, and I'm looking at, and I'm not Israel, And Israel, boy, if they claimed it, couldn't the Israel claim we're to be your most high possession? Sure they could. They could get down on their knees in the before the wall, Western Wall or whatever, get down on their knees and say, God, God, here we are, most high God. And God would hear them, but they don't do that. But here we are, and we have a very special place, and we can be as indifferent and lazy and stupid about the whole thing, just like they were. And the consequences are, the church, the real believers, wherever they are, the real believers are saved by what? By fire. By fire. That's all. You see, if the righteous hardly be saved. If the righteous are hardly saved, what about the unsaved? If the righteous just about get in, what about the rest of them? See? Now, Ephesians 1, quickly. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in the heavenlies, in Christ. Now, I want you to add, here's Jerusalem, here's Israel, a nation going to be the highest and mostest in all the world, and all the world is going to honor them during the millennium. It's the nation. Jerusalem is the place of worship. It's where Christ and God, the temple is, etc. Now, where are you? Where is your blessing? How high is your blessing? Let me see if I did it right. I didn't mean a trick question. Isn't it in the heavenlies? Isn't it higher than Israel? Isn't it? Let's do it again. Oh, chapter 2, verse 6, you know. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So where is the believer positioned, seated? Now, I know you're sitting in the pew, and I know you got work, home, school, play, and everything else, but where are you as a believer? Where was Israel in the middle of the wilderness? They were the prized people. All they had to do was honor the God who was a fire by night and a cloud by day. They just had to honor him. But they didn't. Here we are, believers. And we're positioned in the heavenlies. We're seated in the right hand of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We're seated there. Wow. And to boot, over to chapter 3. What do we know? Chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent, purpose, that now, 3 and 10, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So here's your opponent, the satanic world, Satan's world, busy out there doing what they're doing, and here you and I are, and what are we doing? We're on earth. Ah, well, where's this battle going on? Well, there's a battle going on earth with Israel and the nations, that's true, but there's another battle going on, and that is to keep the church, the true believers, from having a relationship to Christ that allows heaven to reign and rule in their heart. To be a custodian of the God. When you go to work, home, school, you're special. You're a new creature. Wow. Now, and so we're to do that, and the battle up there is they're all looking. What are they going to do? They're going to learn about the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is demonstrating to Israel, to awaken them ultimately, to destroy to Israel and to the world, that God, in his grace, in the person of Christ, has made you more than a conqueror, has given you a position as a son. As a son. And you're walking up and down. So that's why God said the world isn't going to be happy. But don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't let terror get in the way. And in closing, if I can. Oh, wrong place to close. Well, why not? Chapter 6. And that battlefield that you fight and I, isn't, you can't do it with flesh and blood. You can't do it with little programs. You know, we're going to have good programs and make everybody holy and happy because we have holy pizza and holy tonic and soda and games and music and plans. We're going to make it. Oh, no, you're not. The enemy, you couldn't touch the enemy with that. The enemy will applaud you for doing it. Your weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. You have to look to God. Why? Because chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. No. But against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what we're doing. So our battlefield is an awesome thing. And we're there, and we are privileged. So therefore, are we going to go to their high places, their system, their way? No. They do not honor the Most High God. You, believing heart, honor the Most High God. How? By honoring the Most High, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you honor Him, you honor the Most High God. And here you are. Wow. And God, here we are. And the world's doing and going and coming and going to try to do whatever. But God, here we are on planet Earth. And Israel didn't understand. And they tried to be like the high of the world. And they lost out. And when they lost out, they lost all the benefits. All the wonderful benefits. They lost the benefit. What do you mean benefits? You lost your relationship practically to God. And when God is your friend and companion, an ever-present help, a refuge, when you lose your God, you have no God. And no one and nothing replaces God. Does it? I don't know. What replaces God? What are you going to replace Him with? I don't know. A doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, coming and going, a better job, a school. No. A victory? No. A victory is only for a moment. And you can have all those victories that you want. But if you don't win with God, you're a loser. You're a loser. So I'd rather win with God and let the victories come and go. Wow. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. And you might have a particular word of prayer. Remember to pray for the season holiday coming up, unfortunately, very fast. Easter, Palm Sunday, and the conference coming up, the choir, cantata. Pray for